Well, it's always a blessing to see the saints of the Lord come in. I look forward to that time when we get on the other side of this life where all the saints of all ages come in and we can have a regular old revival meeting up in heaven and enjoy each other. But I'll say this, it's awful nice to be able to enjoy a little bit of it here too. There's nothing like the fellowship of the saints. Thinking tonight, there isn't anything like the hope of the gospel either. Yeah. Thinking about that song that was just sung, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves in life, there's always hope that's associated with the gospel.
Yes, there is.
You know, the gospel message, at sometimes it's encouraging, it lifts us up, helps us go away feeling good about where we are, and there's other times where the gospel pulls us up short a little bit. And it causes us to recognize that there's some gaps that need to be closed. But here's what I'm so thankful about the gospel. It always gives you a way out. The Lord doesn't ever come along and push and squash us down and tell us where we're all messed up and then leave us there. But He's there to help show us our need and then pick us up and take us to a better place. And I'm so thankful for that. Today, I have found that true in my life. Brother James prayed in his prayer. He mentioned that this life is going by quickly. It's going by very quickly. And we don't have any guarantees of how long we're going to be here in life. We don't have time to cover up the needs that exist. But the Lord wants us to have a sense of urgency with those places in our lives that He shows us He would have us come a little closer. And so it's my prayer tonight that this message would be a challenge and encouragement, and that as we go through it, that the Lord would bless you with this thought that He is here to lift you up and to help get us to a place where He can bless us more richly. I'd like to start in the 15th chapter of Mark. I'd like to start in the first verse. This is when Christ was before Pilate. The little title of my message tonight is a question. And the question is, who are you contenting? Who are you contenting? Trust that that will make more sense as we go through tonight. Said, and straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. And Pilate asked Him, art Thou the King of the Jews? And He answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused Him of many things, but He answered nothing. And Pilate asked Him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Matthew's account said he marveled greatly. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest, listen to this verse, but the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. We'll come back to that. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. What a sad account leading up to the cruel murder, scourging, and crucifixion of the Lord. And I feel like that one of the tragedies about this is that the man who condemned him to death or allowed it to happen did not believe himself or was not convinced himself that the Lord was guilty. Now, I know I want to say this up front. Jesus came to die on the cross for our salvation. I know that. And there may be some that feel like, well, Pilate didn't have any choice. Pilate was in a situation, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. This was the time for Jesus to come, and he was going to have to pronounce him guilty because it was foretold. Well, I want to say this. The Lord would never have had to have come if we wouldn't have made a choice on our own to go against the plan of God. And I don't believe that the Lord ever put anybody on the earth and put them in a place where they were going to be, where they were going to have to choose sin whether they wanted to or not. So that my focus is not on this was the time for the Lord to be crucified and Pilate didn't have any choice, because I think there's some more that could be said about that. The reason that Jesus was where he was because of the hearts of people just like Pilate. And that's what I want to focus on. And it seemed that it's a tragedy that Pilate himself, again, wasn't convinced that the Lord was even guilty. The scripture said that he knew, the 10th verse said, that he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. It didn't say he knew that they were convinced that he was guilty and that he thought that the Lord was guilty, but he knew they had delivered him because of envy. We also know that Pilate, he asked the Lord, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And the Lord answered him in a profound way, twice. The first time, he said, "Thou sayest." The second time, he answered him with nothing. No words at all. I don't want the Lord to ever go quiet on me. See, Pilate already has mind made up. Pilate already decided. The Lord knew that Pilate was going to go the way he was going to go. And the Lord, he said, "Thou sayest." He asked him again. Didn't answer him anything. And it said that Pilate marveled. Why do you think he marveled? Why did Pilate marvel so much that the Lord answered like he did? I don't know what goes through your mind. But if I had the power to save somebody's life, and I asked them a question, and they said, you say, and I know that they know that I had the power to save or to crucify them. Look, they didn't play around back then. they didn't mess around. Crucifixion was not child's play.
No, that's right.
Scourging was not child's play. I'm struck sometimes. They say, well, after they tried him and scourged him, then they took him away. They put little 2-3 words in there. Listen, scourging took a while, and it was worth more than 2 or 3 words.
Right.
It was serious business.
Right.
Pilate knew that it was serious business. He knew Jesus knew it was serious business. And yet, Jesus didn't say anything. I think part of the reason, this is me, I think part of the reason he marveled was because I don't think he thought Jesus thought he was guilty. And yet Jesus didn't say anything. Pilate's own wife said, "Don't have anything to do with this man. Just don't. I've been troubled." What did it say? "I've been troubled much because of this man over this last day or so. Just don't have anything to do with him." Yet through it all, Pilate approved the cruel scourging and murder of Jesus Christ. Why? The scripture tells us in the 15th verse. "And so Pilate, willing to content the people." He was willing to content the people. What does that mean? What does willing mean? Willing means, some definitions say, reluctantly agree. You know, sometimes we go along with things and we're not just convinced. But we're willing for it to happen. We let it happen and we don't intervene. We're willing. He was willing to content. What does the word content mean? Content means to make satisfied or to meet their desire. Pilate was willing, reluctantly perhaps, to meet the desire of the people at the expense of another man's life.
Yeah. Yes.
Not just his life, but it had an effect on Jesus' family, those that were close to him had profound effect. Why did he do that? Pilate had a divided heart.
Yes.
Pilate had a divided heart. You remember what else he did? What else did he do? He made a public showing. He got out the water and he washed his hands in front of everyone. And he said, well, I'm washing my hands of this. Let his blood be on you. Pilate wanted what he wanted, but he didn't want the consequences, didn't he? And he tried to make it like that it wasn't him that was making the decision, it was the people. He was willing to content the people. He testified of one thing, but he did something else. And I'm reminded of different instances in the Bible. You remember when Moses came down the mountain and he found Aaron with the golden calf? Remember that? Moses is up there talking to God, and God's looking down there seeing what's happening, and God gets very upset and says, I'm going to destroy this people. And Moses is like, no, Lord, please don't destroy the people. I mean, please, he pled God's mercy. And so God relented, said, okay, I won't. Moses goes down the mountain, and about the time Moses gets down at the bottom of the mountain and sees what's going on, he was wroth. He was ready to destroy the people when he saw what was going on. And he got down there and saw him dancing around this golden image, and he tells Aaron, what's going on here? What are you doing?
Yes.
Remember what Aaron said?
The people.
It was almost like Aaron was like, Moses, today's language, cool down just a little bit. Don't be so hot. Your anger, just back off a little bit. You know the people. The people, and then he tried to blame kind of on Moses. They didn't know where you were. I mean, you left. They wanted somebody, and so I told them, well, give me some, break off your gold and give it to me. Remember what he said then? I threw it into the fire, and this thing came out.
Yes.
I took what they gave me, see?
Yes.
I took what they gave me, threw it in the fire, and this thing came out. And don't be so upset, Moses. I mean, you know, the heart of the people is set to do mischief. Not such a big thing. You see, Aaron started to try to back off the responsibility that he had.
Yes.
He was willing to content the people.
Yes.
When he knew it was wrong. And I thought about Saul, too. Saul and the sheep, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was supposed to destroy the Amalekites totally and completely? And so, you remember what he did? He didn't destroy the Amalekites totally and completely. And Samuel, he's at home, and the Lord tells Samuel what happens, and it says Samuel, he cries and he's weeping through the night. He gets up in the morning and he walks out there. And about the time he gets up to Saul, Saul quickly says, or it seemed like he quickly said, just the best you can read in the Bible, Saul says, well, I did according to the word of the Lord. I did what the Lord said. Samuel said, well, what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear? Well, what about the lowing of the oxen that's going on out there? What's that all about? Saul's response, well, you know, the people, not taking responsibility for himself, the people wanted to save the best so that they could sacrifice it to God. Do we ever do that? Sometimes we do the wrong thing for the right reasons, or so we tell ourselves. Do the wrong thing for the right reason. Really easy to say, well, we wanted to offer sacrifices to God. But that's not what God said to do. And the other thing they did is they let the king come. God wanted the whole caboodle destroyed. All of it. Totally, completely. Get rid of the sin. I don't want any part of the sin in the camp. I want it all destroyed. Every bit of it. Don't save anything. Well, they saw what they liked. They brought it back. They even brought Agag, was that his name? They brought him back. Well, that didn't turn out very well for Agag, for sure. He ended up getting cut to pieces before all was said and done. What was Saul thinking? He was willing to content the people.
Yes, yeah.
He was willing to let happen the influences that he was feeling, and maybe he had a little bit of part of that too. I'm not sure. But do you know that we can be guilty of the same thing sometimes? We can read these stories and think, well, how could they do that? How could Saul do that? How could Aaron do that? How could Pilate do this when he knew? Now here's where it gets close. It said he was willing to content the people. Do you know who the people include? Do you know who the people included? Included Pilate. Pilate was one of the people. Often when we make decisions to content the people, we're contenting ourselves, aren't we? Isn't that often what we're doing? We might say, well, we're contenting the people. We didn't agree with it, but that's what everybody else wanted to do. Well, why did you go along with it? Why didn't you stand strong? Lots of times when we content the people, it includes us. I think about that verse that says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Remember that story? Luke 12 and 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then it goes on, it says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he said within himself, you know, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And that didn't end up very well with him. But here's a thought I got out of that one time. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Do you know what we covet a lot of times? Our own way. We covet what I want. We covet having it my way. But we don't always define it like that or get it out like that where we see it just like that. We'll cover it up and look a little bit different like Pilate did. Maybe wash his hands and say, well, I'm going to absolve myself here. It seems so wrong to us for Pilate to go against the Lord when he knew better than that, didn't it? But he did it anyway, and people today are doing the same thing. Nominal Christianity. We'll do the same thing. We'll stand out there and willing to content the people. We'll not stand strong for what is truth and righteousness and what the Lord has taught us. Hindering the work of the Lord, hindering the place that He wants us to have in His body, and we back off and we have all the different reasons why we're okay. And I want to challenge you with this today. Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to be counted? Are you willing for the Lord to say, that's one of my dependable servants? Are you willing to stand when the crowds are clamoring? It seems like that the world is clamoring to us how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to live, how we should live our lives, what success is defined as, what Christianity ought to be defined as. The world wants to tell us what Christianity is. They want to tell us what real love looks like. They want to tell us all of these different things. We're standing before that as we're in a life where we're inundated by all of this stimuli coming our way, clamoring to us. What are we going to do? Are you willing to make the right decisions regardless and irrespective of what it means? Amen. Are you willing to stand alone?
Amen.
Or do sometimes are we tempted to content the people when sometimes it's us that we're trying to content? There is a cause greater than ourselves.
Amen.
You remember when David was going to fight Goliath? And he got out there and all of the crowds were out there. God's people were at a standstill. And it would have been easy for David to say, well, I'm one of God's people. Why isn't somebody doing something? Yeah. Well, I guess maybe they know better than I. I guess I'll stand back here with them. David could have said that.
Yeah.
But he looked at it all and he said, isn't there a cause? God, the Lord, being defied by this man. There's a cause for us. And he was willing to stand. God wants us. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us to be a light to the world. Not of ourselves. He doesn't want me to be a reflection of the rest of the world.
No.
He wants me to be a reflection of Him. He wants me to be a light in darkness. If I look like everybody else, when I mean look like, act like, live like, participate, I mean no difference at all, that's not a light. God wants me to reflect who He is. Because the world needs it. The world's crying for it, whether they realize it or not. The world's broken. People's lives are messed up and they're ruined and they've got dead ends ahead of them and there's heartache. And they're told, you just need to go a little bit further and it'll get better. And they go a little bit further and it gets a little bit worse. And the enemy sometimes tries to make us think that, well, you just need to get into it a little bit further yet. God has the answer. He wants us to take that answer to the world. Who are you contending? It's a serious question. Remember when Jesus was in the garden? It said He went a little farther. I want to go a little farther. I want to be willing to go a little farther. Isaiah said in the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, you remember when He said, who shall go with me? Who will go for us? And what was it that Isaiah said? The scripture in Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I, send me. Do you have that testimony tonight? Are you willing to go with the Lord regardless? Or do you think that there's a little piece that just has its way in your life where you're trying to content yourself? You're trying to content the people around you that don't have a successful life. There's an end to all of this. Be encouraged to be strong. Be settled. Fortify yourself. Put things in practice to allow the Lord to give you the strength that you need in the midst of a world that's clamoring for you to do something different. Have a prayer life. Have family worship with your children. Young families, if you're here tonight and you have young children growing up, be faithful to have family worship with them. Amen. Every night. Make it something that's a priority. Read the Bible stories to them. Teach them. Start when they're young. Because when they get older and they get teenagers, there's always reasons. It's hard to get everybody in the living room. There's always things that interfere and get in the way, but make it a priority so that when it comes worship time, you drop what you're doing. We're in a race for our life, and it's important that we get put first things first. Have family worship. Make that a priority. Meditate on things of the Lord. Give the Lord time in your life. Set up some safeguards in your life. Don't, saints, young people, don't see how close to the world you can get and still be okay.
Amen.
I mentioned this morning that sometimes I'm worried by, you know, well, that's not necessary. And I want to say this when people say, well, that's not necessary. Well, that's not. Look, I'm not against finding the right balance. God doesn't want us to be fanatics. There's some things that aren't necessary. I understand that. But I'm talking about the heart that is bent to always find the loopholes where they can do the least amount of possible for the Lord and say, well, it's my property, I can do this. And so it's like having this large expanse of property with a cliff on one side and you build your house right on the edge of the cliff and say, well, I can do it, it's mine. Well, yeah, you can do it. It's your property. But why would you do that? If you know that there's a risk there, why would you do that? And sometimes we as people, We push the boundaries because we think that it's going to bring us more satisfaction. It's not. That's the way that the enemy brings us in. Think about Lot out there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He could. It was his land. He could do that. Abraham could have come along and said, Lot, you can't do that. And Lot could have said, well, where does it say in the Bible that I can't do that? Show me scripture and verse where I can't do that. Well, okay, there's not scripture and verse, but there's principle. It'd be better for you not to do that. Well, it's my property. Yeah, it's your property. You can do that if you want, but there's danger in it. I don't know what happened between when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You're reading about he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then all of a sudden you're reading where he's in Sodom.
Yes.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
I wondered before, did I miss something? What happened between Sodom and pitching his tent towards Sodom? How did he get inside? I don't know what all happened, but I know that it happens in life all the time.
That's right.
It's because many times we don't make up our minds. Our life is not just about contenting myself. My cause is the Lord. I want to make my cause God.
Amen.
I want to be part of the army of God. I want Him to be pleased with my life. I want to be able to stand against the crowds that are around me and say, that's not necessary, you don't have to do that to be a Christian. I want to be able to point to the Word of the Lord and say, the Word of the Lord says it, this is what I'm going to do. It means something to me. Be encouraged to put up some walls of protection in your life. And if there's things that come up in your life and you're not sure about it, but it's causing you spiritual anxiety, back off on it for a while. It's not worth it.
No.
I've worked in manufacturing plants all of my career, and I know a lot of you out here work with equipment. And there's these things called just preventative maintenance. And you know, sometimes you replace a $15 belt, whether it looks bad or not. That time of the month comes around, 3 months goes by, and you don't go and you look at the belt and you say, well, I think I can get another couple days out of it. When if it fails, it shuts the whole thing down at great cost. And so you look at it and you say, it isn't worth it. I'm going to just replace it. It's not worth it. There's things like that in our lives that come up.
Yes, sir.
It's not worth it. There's some things that's just not worth contending yourself when it continues to bother you spiritually. Be willing to just say, Lord, how can I please You? Not what can I get by with, but Lord, how can I please You better? Because if we don't do that, I think the enemy gets us pulled back to the place where we start getting our eyes off contending the Lord, and we start looking at what's going on around us. Asaph did that, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
I think it was Asaph. 73rd chapter of Psalms, it said, he was envious at the foolish when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked.
Yes.
Something like that, right?
Yes.
He looked out there and he thought, well, I'm trying to do everything right, but it looks like everything's going their way and it's not going my way. Until what? Until he went into the sanctuary. Then he understood their end. There's an end to it all, folks.
That's right.
David said something similar in the 37th Psalm. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers.
Yeah.
Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. There's an end to it. He went on and he said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I want to say this. The enemy likes to take these sorts of messages and make you think, oh, the life of a Christian is just the life of self-denial, and there's no satisfaction, and it is exactly the opposite.
Yes.
When we live to content the Lord, that's when we find ourselves content.
Yes.
But the world won't tell you that.
No.
The enemy won't tell you that. David lived through some of it, and he said, trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did you get that? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And he went on down towards the end, and he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Does that sound like a life that's a bad life to live? That is the life of a Christian. That's what God wants us to have. But we have to ask ourselves, am I living to content myself or to God? And if you find that things aren't going well in your life and you're not happy, it might be because you're trying to content yourself. it's the world that it doesn't understand. It doesn't match up with the knowledge of the world. If you want to content yourself, do what you like, right? But that's not the way the Lord works. As we mentioned this morning, if you're willing to die out to yourself, that's when He can bring us abundant life. Solomon looked at it all, and he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the conclusion. See, he went out to try to figure out what life was all about.
Yes.
He looked into wisdom. He looked into entertainment, singing, wealth, everything that he could do. And he finally got to the end and he said, all right, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For He shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Who are you contending today? I want to go through life understanding full well what the stakes are. Serious. Life's serious. Eternity's serious. It's a long time. And we're going to stand before God, the Creator. And He's looking down and He knows how we're living and why we're living like we are. And the good news of it all is the Lord's not out there trying to cut us off at the first opportunity. The Lord is a merciful God who is looking to see those of us, people that are contenting themselves, and He says, hey, I've got a better way for you. I've got a way to lift you up. I want you to be delighted in the Lord. I want you to experience more abundant life. And so He challenges with things like this and says, who are you contending? If you're contending yourself, He's saying, I've got a better way. I want to be faithful to the Lord tonight. I want to meet Him in peace. I want to be like Paul where he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to have that crown of righteousness. I want to feel the blessings of the Lord in this life. I want to experience abundant life. I can. You can. The choice is ours. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.